Hello and welcome
Love
to another live. Welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. We are so excited tonight. We're going to skip the music. We're going to skip as much as the introduction part as possible in hopes that we'll get Erica right in. Erica A. Murray is on the show with us tonight. And so Tika and I are just excited. We're coming in tonight with pen, paper, because we're going to take notes as well. So without further ado, I just want to remind our callers, thank you again. It's Monday night. It's football season. So we are so honored that you are joining us tonight and skipping the football. We're not going to keep you long, but we're going to stay on air just as long as we have callers and comments and questions. So thank you again. Remember, if you're listening online, we're going to go ahead and open up the chat line. So feel free for those of you who do not want to come online and ask your question or comment live. The chat line is open if you are listening online. If you're listening by phone, remember you must select the number 1 in order for us to know that you have a comment or a question. So without further ado, Ms. Erica A. Murray is with us, and she's going to tell us a bit about herself, and then we're going to, Tika and I will come in and share a little bit with you as well, and we'll get right into the show. But please, I hope that many of you went out to Erica's webpage and learned a little bit about her, her new book that is set to come out October 8th and October 10th. We'll share where you can get the book from. We also have some exciting news for those of you who come in tonight to that have a question or have a comment. We're going to enter your name into a drawing, and the winner will receive a copy of Erica's new book, and CEO, become CEO to the most powerful corporation in the world, which is yourself, you. Okay, so without further ado, Ms. Erica, we're going to turn it over to you, and you have your way.
Okay, thank you, Tammy. Thank you, Tiki, for having me on your show. I love the title of your show, The Butterfly Evolution. It just represents so much about who we are in the metamorphosis of our changes, because we are constantly changing, and we have to be able to understand that change is inevitable, and that we must also realize in our minds that with change, it's not a negative thing. The negative aspect of change is resistance to change, because change will happen with or without you. So I love the actual title of your show, The Butterfly Evolution. It speaks volumes to a lot of things that are written within this literary work. I am Erica A. Murray. I am a international business consultant. That's what I do. I also have other interests in real estate development. I have a garment factory in Asia. I serve as a mentor to a lot of students around the country, students in London, students in Georgia, students in the Caribbean. I think that it's very important to give back in order for us to manifest something greater for the future, because some of us, we're getting older and we're moving on, and we need to be able to prepare people to lead as we are going on to that fourth quarter of life, is what I call it. Once again, I've had the opportunity to travel Canada, Asia, the Caribbean, United Kingdom, just sharing business strategies. And what I've gathered from that is I've had an opportunity to observe people. And in observing people, it shows me how people think, how what they even talk about. And I think that's important. And I think sometimes we're in environments and we're not cognizant of what people are talking about, and we're not observing what they're doing. So sometimes we become engulfed or encapsulated in an environment that's not good for us. And so this literary work is something that I've worked on for 3 years. I'm generally able to churn out something quicker than that. But with this work, it was critical that I reduced thoughts to the least common denominator. I did not want to leave any gaps in CEO to the power of you. I did not want to leave any gaps where someone will have to apply the knowledge that they already have, because sometimes the knowledge that we have is not applicable to where we're going or applicable to a certain situation. So this book is not just another philosophical health book, but is a book that will help change and revolutionize your life.
Okay, great, great. Now, Erica, you're from New Orleans, correct?
I am from New Orleans, yes.
And great, for those who are listening, I'm not sure if we have any people from New Orleans, but I wanted to get that out there for you because that alone, you know, that'll get you some support as well. We like to support our hometown people, so to speak. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, Tika, do you have anything before we get started? And callers, remember, we want you to get, you know, get your comments and questions in. If not, Tika and I have spent about 2 days writing our questions down and comments, so we're ready if you're not.
No, I'm fine with hers. You're still in with the show.
Okay. Well, again, select the number one if you do have a comment or a question. And, Erica, I'll just dive right into Tika and I both found, and you just mentioned a little bit about observing people and two things, the way that people think and what they talk about. And in reading the summary of the book, it made me think, when is the last time I evaluated the people in my life, not to eliminate, but just to, like you said in the summary, it helps, understanding people also helps you understand yourself. And I think that is so important. And again, I can't tell you if I've ever thought about that until reading the summary. And I think so often we just kind of go with life without really sitting down thinking, and the way you compare life to being a CEO, I also was pondering on how many things come before a wise CEO person, as you know in the summary, that they have to eliminate. I think we think most about the things that they put into process, but in order to put one thing into process, you've probably turned down many in light of reviewing them and taking a closer look and determining what is best for the overall company, and how many times do we do that for our life and ourselves and our future? So that was just meant so much to me and brought so much meaning into my life. So would you kind of talk a little bit about more about that?
Sure, I don't have a problem with that. I'm glad that it actually made an impact, because what we tend to do is we believe that we are the strong creatures, that we can be around anything that we want to be around, and we're in control. And I think that's an illusion that we find ourselves in, because when you go into an environment and someone comes into your environment, there are one of two things that can happen. Either one, they can overtake your environment, or two, you can overtake their environment. So we need to be more cognizant of that, to not place ourselves in a situation whereas then the environment that we're in, we know, one, we don't want it to overtake us, but we run the risk of that happening by finding ourselves in a comfort zone in it. So it's critically important that you evaluate the people that you're hanging out with or that spend a lot of time in your intimate space. One of my suggestions and one of the things that I've done in my life, people who are very close to me or that are in my intimate setting most of the time, people that I'm, when I say intimate setting, people that I'm communicating with on a regular, maybe 2 or 3 times a week, sometimes it's maybe 2 or 3 times per day. What I did was had all of my friends to take what is called a Strength Finders test. Strength Finders is a book. It's a very small book, and it's an assessment of your strengths. So what I did was had all of my friends to take this test, and I explained to them the reason why I need you to take this test is so that I can know what your strengths are. So when I find myself in need of something, if Tiki is very good with encouragement and you're very good with organization, why would I call you for encouragement? Because it's not your strength. So the very first thing that's going to happen is you're going to start trying to organize things for me, and that's not what I need. So what StrengthFinders does, it helps you to understand who's around you, because when you know what it is that you can glean from that person or learn or help strengthen you, then you're able to give them what you have because you know your strengths as well. So that becomes what I call a relationship. Relationships are they are filled with reciprocity. I'm making a deposit, they're making a deposit. Transactions are, whereas I'm the only one making a deposit into someone's life. Everybody in my circle, they just pull on me, and there's nothing being poured back into me. So, one, we need to understand fully what relationships are. And in business, we understand relationship in business. When you are a CEO, what happens is Something may happen with another company that you may not agree with, or with a supplier or a business partner, but you don't walk away from them. You find a way to make it work. You find a resolution to the situation, and you do it in a manner that's professional. And I don't know why, when we leave our workplace and we tend to go home, we don't operate in the same manner. But if we carefully evaluate, we are very successful in our place of employment when we employ those principles. So if we're successful there, if we take those principles from work and we apply those principles at home, we can only garner success. So, again, if you're working in a company and you have a CEO or you have executive-level management, most times they don't associate with frontline employees. And it's not because they think that they're better than you. It's because they think differently than you. So there's a separation in thought pattern. So how do you elevate yourself to that level to be able to associate yourself with this executive platform? You're going to have to look at life a little bit differently, and you're going to have to change how you're going to think about things. And in this book, I've separated the book into three parts, that first part being defining what success is, because what's success to me may not be success to neither of you. And if I were to ask Tammy what is success or to define it, her definition may not apply to my life. So it's critically important that we define success for ourselves. The second part of that book is changing the way you think. The reason we should change the way we think is because if the thinking or the thought process that we were actually utilizing would get us where we want to be, we'd be there by now. So if we've not arrived to the place in these goals that we set every December, this is what I'm going to do the next year, if you've not gotten there, it's probably because you really need to change your thought process. And then the third part of that book is creating a corporate structure. So what we do is we build a life plan, sort of like an individual writes a business plan. That is those three concepts and understanding and breaking them down into various chapters in between, that plan is what's going to help catapult one to another paradigm. And I think that we all need to be in another paradigm in 2011.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And what was the name of the strength finding? You mentioned the strength finding test. Where can we find that?
Okay, Strength Finders is a book.
Yes.
Strength Finders 2.0. And it is written by a gentleman by the name of Tom Rath. Rath is spelled R as in rainbow, A as in apple, T as in Tom, H as in Harry. Tom Rath.
Okay.
It's a New York Times bestseller, but it's an assessment for you to know what your strengths are. Just because Tiki says, Tammy, you know, you're really good at this, doesn't mean that's your strength. So what you have to do is play more on your strengths, because our strengths is what's going to garner us a success, not operating in what we like.
Okay.
I noticed that just with you talking about the thought process, that was what really stood out to me throughout. Well, there were a lot of things that stood out, but the thought process was something that strongly stood out for me, because I noticed that the conversations that a person has reveals their thought systems. And that is times that you notice yourself in your thought systems. Was there a time that you noticed yourself where your thought system needed to be renewed? And then also I noticed that a way in which, since the thought system is tied to self, usually I notice that it's the way a person feels about themselves. However, their feeling within projects what they see on the outside. And so I wondered,
yes,
was there something that you noticed in you that you saw, okay, I need to renew my thought system, that you actually knew that that's what it was and that needed to be changed in order for you to do that? Because I found when you said there were signs that you wanted to throw in the towel, what was it in you that made you not throw the towel in? What was it that made you persevere when you were ready to quit?
Wow, that's a loaded question. I think we all reach a point in life sometimes where we want to throw in the towel, so to speak. You know, we're tired of this, we're tired of that. It's all happening at the same time. I think it's a statement of being overwhelmed by situations. But what I realized with my thought process was that I was thinking fragmented thoughts. Let me give you an example. you know, we have a lot of cliches that we grow up with, like do as I say, but not as I do. Mm-hmm. Something is very fragmentedly wrong with that statement. But what happens is we grow up and we just repeat the statement. And so you tell the next generation of kids, don't do what I do, do what I tell you to do, basically. It's just a different way that we say it. And what happens is it's kind of like if you imagine a father with a cigarette in his mouth and he's yelling at the kid saying, you don't need to smoke cigarettes, but he's smoking cigarettes. So the kid is probably looking at him like, I don't get it. If it's so dangerous, why are you doing it? If it's so dangerous, why would you have it in my environment? Because as you're smoking, you're killing me too. So I realized when I was hitting these roadblocks that something was very wrong because I took the thought process that I was reared with, and I tried to arm myself with that thought process, but the thought process that I was reared with was an antiquated system for the time in which I was living. So what I had to do was say, you know what, that may have worked in 1950, but I'm not living in 1950, so I'm going to have to do something different if I want something different to happen. I'm getting away from the insanity type thing, but if you do want change, if your goal is to go to another level, another dimension, you're going to have to change the way you think. And what happens is we get comfortable. We find safety in being content in how we do things. And that in itself is stagnant. So what we're going to have to do is totally revamp. And because I've worked in real estate development, if you can imagine building a 40 or 50-story tall building, what happens is the taller the building you're going to build, the deeper in the earth's surface you have to excavate. You got to dig deep down and dig all the dirt out, because if you don't, when the wind blows or strong wind, the building is going to blow with it. So you have to make sure that building has this base, this steel foundation, so that it's not movable. And so that's what's going to have to happen with people's thought processes. You're going to have to excavate out some stuff you know isn't right, throw it out, because what happens is you're going deeper into your surface, you're going deeper into your core, and now you're going to plant these steel beams, and you're not going to allow someone to move your thought process. You have to have sound thinking, and that's what separates a CEO from just an average person in a corporation. They choose to think differently. They choose to hear other intellectual thought process, because, you know, some of the things that the people in your environment are talking about has no relevancy. You know, it has no weight. You know, it's not going to elevate. It's just something to keep you busy, and we don't need to be kept busy. And another thing that we also have to be mindful of is when we work for companies, we actually don't have to think, because the company, when you go in, give you what is called a employee manual, right?
Right.
And the employee manual with the processes and procedures say this is what you're supposed to say. This is how you're supposed to think. So at what point are you really thinking for yourself? You're not. Your parents told you how to think. The teachers told you how to think. The professors in college told you how to think. The church told you how to think. And now your employers are telling you how to think. When do you really think for yourself?
I never saw it that way. I never saw it that way. When you've done this your whole life, how do you even begin to think on your own and think productively?
Do that by realizing that I'm not getting where I want to be, and I'm not getting there in any time soon. So there has to be something different. Sometimes it's not that you don't have the effort, because you are putting forth the effort. It's just that you're thinking about things differently. And it's kind of like if a person would say, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, it's always raining. And in actuality, it's not always raining. What has to happen is you have to change your position, because the sun is shining in another place, because it's behind the clouds. So if you move from around the clouds to the other side where the sun is shining, you'll see it. Again, it's a perception. How do you perceive this when someone says it's always raining? Do you just accept, yeah, it's always raining? Or do you say, no, actually, it's not always raining? You just have to change your perspective, or change your viewpoint, or change your position. But if you don't have people in your environment to say that, then in your life it's going to always be rain.
Right.
You talk about discipline in that as well, which is what you're saying as well. In the summary, you talk about we have to discipline ourselves to the right thinking, so to speak, because we were taught by, you know, and not that it was a negative thing. Like you said, it worked. It may have worked for them at that time, but we were taught how to think by so many people, even as we grow older and, like you said, come into the workplace, have relationships and things like that. We just have been taught how to do so. We really have to discipline ourselves to think differently. I know I've said many times that, you know, I literally sometimes have to say, no, Tammy, I am not going there with you today. I have to leave Tammy, so to speak, where she is and get myself in the right zone, so to speak, in order to move forward, because it has not been working the way that I've been thinking and running my life. It just did not work. So it becomes, like you said in your summary, you have to be disciplined and not come, I think you use empathy. We just have empathy about where we are in life. And we, I guess in some way, think we cannot change it. It's done. We're too old to change it. It's going to be this way. And so we do nothing about it.
And that's quite unfortunate. Yes, discipline and structure is like, it's the way I live my life. I don't do anything on a whim. I make sure I take 24 hours with everything. I don't do anything impulsive because I think that that's bad decision-making. Most times CEOs don't do anything with an impulse. They say, you know what, we need to review the documents. We need to review the financial statements to ensure that this is a good business move for not only the corporation but the shareholders. And in our lives, our shareholders are our kids, our husbands, our families. Those are shareholders because they have a vested interest in our life. So you have to make sure that decisions that you make don't necessarily tear your corporation apart or cause your corporation to file bankruptcy. So being structured and disciplined is critical. And, again, everyone possesses structure and discipline. Or let me rephrase it, everyone who goes to work every day, I can say for certain, have structure and discipline. They're in work at 8, they take an hour for lunch, they have 2 15-minute breaks, they get off at 5. They do this every day, all year long,
right.
Year after year, which is an indication that you possess the structure and discipline needed. You just have to make certain that you understand that you are worthy to have it in your life, your personal life. And as you're building a corporation for a group of shareholders, a CEO, and a chairman of the board, you have to have that kind of vested interest to build your life corporation. Because if that corporation that you go to every day decides to say, hey, you know, we don't need you anymore, you should not be overwhelmed and broken in your home corporation. Your home corporation should say, I'm planning, I know I can do this. All I need is to get another job. That's great. I'm going to take this pink slip. You know, before they're even able to process my unemployment benefits, I'm going to get another job because I am, you know, bold. You know, I possess this skill or whatever. And that's that thing you speak to yourself, but you have to know that your corporation is strong enough to withstand tough times.
Okay. Well, Eric, I have a question. This is a part of the summary that I didn't quite get, and so I wondered if you could kind of elaborate on that more. It's the part where you ask the question, you know, do you see your life as a cohesive whole or a collection of compartments?
Okay.
Could you elaborate on that a bit more?
Sure. It's kind of like going to work and going home. Why is it that you feel like the way you operate at work should be different than the way you operate at home? You have these compartments. You've separated your life out. I have a home compartment, and I have a work compartment. I have a church compartment. I have a community service department, when that's difficult for you. If you have one set of rules, and it applies to every aspect of your life because they're all interconnected, when you try to compartmentalize things, what happens is there are too many things for you to manage. So then things become disorganized. You become overwhelmed at the drop of a dime. So imagine this. Let's say we have your body, and because you feel like everything is not interconnected, we'll cut you in half at the waist, and you have the bottom part of you and you have the top part of you. Can either part function without the other?
Not at all.
Probably not.
okay, so why would you compartmentalize your life? I'm going to behave this way at work. I'm going to do this at home. I'm going to do this at church. Why would you do that? So that's what I mean by that.
Okay.
Compartmentalizing your life as opposed to realizing that you're one person, and this one person possesses a certain set of skills. And if I'm successful in the workplace, if I'm being promoted, you know, why is it that I won't take those principles? This being a good CEO is merely exercising principles. It's a lifestyle that people live, a lifestyle of discipline, a lifestyle of structure. And so those elements garner success.
Okay, callers, remember, we want to remind you that if you do have a question or comment, select the number one. I see many of you out there listening tonight, but I don't see anybody with a comment or question. And remember, you come in with a question or comment, we have a drawing for the book tonight. So go ahead and press number one. I know that, Erica, we asked some of our listeners last week, and I know that one of our listeners did do this. Actually, she did this about 2 weeks ago. We've asked them to, I was always amazed just by moving the trash can in your home, knowing that you've moved it and how many times we go back to where it was. So one of our listeners decided about 2 weeks ago to move her trash can, and I was visiting her last night, and she said that they passed where the garbage can is to go where it was, so to speak. No sooner than I'm there and I'm in reach of the garbage can, and she was telling me the story, and about 15, maybe 20 to 30 minutes later, what did I do? I get up to go where the trash can, where I'm familiar with it being, which is kind of in her back pantry. And so that to us is again, it brings to life how our mind kind of stays where we are, and again, how we get to a point where we just kind of accept things. We just accept things as the way they are and how we remember them to be, and without trying to change. And that's something that I used to do in our household a lot of times is just move the garbage can. It was like a little game because it was funny to see how many times we went back to that place. It really did take a while for us to get it. We've moved it. And so one of our listeners did do that. And as I was going through the summary, I just was reminded of how our mind can get stagnant in one place and become comfortable with where it is.
Absolutely.
You know, even talking about abusive children, seeing them not want to be taken away from the abuser. You know, when I first saw that, I was just amazed and wondering, why does this child want to go back? But it was what he or she knew. It was home. It was their mom, you know, their parent or guardian. So that was just something interesting, and I found myself thinking about it a lot as I was going through the book and hearing some of the things that you're sharing.
Yeah, I think that we should move things around constantly because things are constantly moving around us. And, again, I use the term people find safety and contentment. It's a safe place, although it may not be a healthy place, it's a safe place. And just remaining in a safe place will not garner you the success that you're after in life, especially if you want to achieve great things. And we all want to achieve great things. We were all born to be great. So in that, I say not only move the trash can, move the sofa, you know, move a lamp, you know, because what happens when we accept change in that manner, what happens is when change from the exterior comes into our life, it's not difficult for us to deal with it because we are used to change. We become accustomed to things changing, just like from your time in high school to where you are now in life. Things have totally changed. You didn't have any control over that change. So if you start controlling a little bit of change and moving things around, when change comes that you are not expecting, then you're not overwhelmed by it. You just merely adjust. You know, I think it was maybe 4 years back, I asked a really close guy friend of mine to describe me as he saw me. And he said he would describe me as water. And I laughed, and I said, why would you describe me as water? He says, I would describe you as water because it doesn't matter what challenges come in life, you just move with the flow. He said you just go. If you're going straight and it says go left, you just go left. You know, if it says go right, you go right. And I said the reason why I do that is because the moment I begin to resist is the moment that I have real problems. Because I'm finding that I'm spending a lot of time in the resistance as opposed to accepting and implementing the change in my life, which would be much easier because the change is going to happen anyway. That's what we must realize. The change is going to happen with or without our participation. But how that change impacts your life, you totally control that.
Okay.
Wow.
You talk about the thought liberation process as well, being the ability, I think, to kind of break bondage, to eliminate or emotionally break free from bondage in the summary as well.
Yes, I do. You were really knee deep in the summary, weren't you, Tammy?
I've read it twice.
Absolutely. You have to have what I call thought liberation. Free your thoughts. Why are your thoughts boxed in bondage? Why do you have yourself in a box? You were not created to be in a box. You were created to be boxed out, you know. So you will have to first, in freeing your thoughts, is really freeing yourself from some people who have your thoughts in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to also realize is sometimes those people are very close to us, you know, and it's okay to free yourself from them in order for you to get to the place that you want to go. We cannot have this overwhelming sense of guilt when we decide to take a sabbatical, so to speak, or to take a renovare, which is a renewing, a cleansing. You have to sometimes step back in order for you to move forward. And stepping back from people that are negative in their speech, because whether we want to accept it or not, if someone's speaking negatively, we're hearing it, and hearing it, sometimes it begins to manifest within you. So you have to break free from people who are speaking things that are negative. You have to know who to share what with, because if you share it with the wrong person, they're going to continue to keep your thoughts in bondage because they're going to be like, well, no, you know, you can't do that, or you really shouldn't do that. That's why entrepreneurs should only speak to entrepreneurs about business ventures. It's not to say that other people won't understand it, but an entrepreneur is going to be more like, well, yeah, you know, that could work. You know, did you do X, Y, and Z? Whereas someone who doesn't understand entrepreneurship in its totality would probably say, you probably should close your office and go and get a job. You know, so we have to be careful with who we discuss things with, because our thoughts will be in bondage, and our thoughts are in some shape, form, or fashion in bondage because we grew up with someone controlling our thought process. Mainly our parents. Yes, mainly our parents have controlled our thoughts most of our lives.
Right. I can remember, and I've shared this on the show before, where my son Brandon, who's now 23, to me, he's just this fearless child. And I can remember being told, and this was by his grandmother, Miss Arlene, she said, you know, and a lot of people had issues with that because they say you should not move it. But what she said, Erica, was, you know, his first few years of life, we say stop, bad, no, don't touch this, don't touch that, when that's their learning period and we're teaching them to set limits and to not explore things. And so I did that in some sense. And we got to a point where then I could bring those things back out. And then he knew, I cannot touch this. But he's had his chance to explore and learn from other things. And then years and years and years later, I was sitting in a seminar in Florence, South Carolina, and I heard the speaker, and I cannot remember his name, but what he said was, you know, we're taught as a child to not explore, not to challenge and be limitless in what we think we can achieve, and that's how kids learn at that age, you know, by touching, feeling, exploring, and asking questions. And they ask questions because they're able to touch and feel and see what this does. And so many instances, I still see that now, where kids are not able to touch things at such a young age. Whereas she said, just kind of move those things that's very important to you. And after a while, after he explored it and you know, find out, okay, this is not all that or whatever, he moved on. And it came to a point where you know, I could say, no, we don't touch this, and it was okay. You could bring those things out. But that, to me, was just profound, and I think it really impacted his life growing up because we didn't have so many things that we had set limitless for him that, you know, you can't do this, you can't do this. Instead, we were saying, you know, the world is kind of yours. You know, go for it.
Absolutely. And we can learn a lot from a kid, you know, what you're saying, being fearless. I also have a 22-year-old son, and it's like it's nothing you can say to them at that age. And I try to think back to when I was 22 and say, you know, did I really think that way? They believe that they're invincible. And you can learn from that because – you know, we get so caught up into, or most of us get so caught up into these boundaries of, like, the corporation that we work for, and it's nothing wrong with working for a corporation. I'm not saying that. It's just that we get so caught up in that box until it's great to see someone who says, you know, I'm going to take the world on, you know, and they're not armed with what they really need, but they believe they have what it takes. And that in itself gets them 90% on the journey. And so I think that in our lives, we should be that way also. We can really learn from kids. And as a CEO, what tends to happen is that we sit back, we observe, and we annihilate. That's what happens. And so in our personal lives, we need to sit back, we need to observe, and then we need to attack. And what happens is we sit back and we observe and we observe and we observe. And we wonder why that one's being promoted. We wonder why they got a new house. Mm-hmm. We wonder why that happened for them. And because you're stuck in the observation process. That was supposed to be a pit stop. Okay. And then you're supposed to attack the goal. So, again, changing your mindset to think like a CEO. A CEO thinks with an invincible mindset. Nothing can stop me. I don't care if McDonald's has 2 billion or served 2 billion hamburgers. Burger King, we're going to open up. Wendy's, we're going to open up. Burger Shack, we're going to open up, and we're going to compete because we believe our burgers are better, and we believe that we can overtake them. Doesn't stop them from doing it. They may not sell 2 billion burgers, but they're in business. And, you know, okay. Hey, sell 1 billion burgers, that's great too, right?
Right.
But again,
Erica, I have a...
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah. One question I wanted to ask, I'm noticing that since we're such a right-now society, we want everything right now. We want to fix it right now. We want the things to be better right now. For someone who's hearing this show or reading your book and they find themselves having their epiphany or their breakthrough moment and they're ready to just dive in and change their life around and fix it and they run 100 miles an hour just taking all these steps to get it right, and they run as fast as they were running to get to that process, they burn themselves out just as fast. How do you help someone to understand that in doing something like this, the process in it and the consistency in reaping the results of that future desire?
I think that we must all understand that there's a process to everything, first and foremost. I don't care if we can go through the drive-thru, get us some French fries, get a hamburger, chicken nuggets, and a beverage. There was a process to preparing it. It took 3 to 5 minutes on the fries. It took maybe 5 to 7 minutes on the burger to be cooked, and it took maybe 2 or 3 minutes for them to press a little button on a Coke machine, put the cup there, put ice in it, and put a lid on it and get it to you. What society has done is to make us believe that there's no process to anything. And so, therefore, we try to live our lives and mimic our lives after something that is what I call an illusion.
Mm.
If you want to have, let's just say, spaghetti for dinner, there's a process to cook the spaghetti. You have to put water on. You have to boil it. You have to put the spaghettis in there. But you also have to cook the meatballs or the meat sauce that's going to go with it by browning the ground meat. There's a process to it. Stop treating life like there's no process to get to the next stop. Because if you do that, it would be like, I want spaghetti, so I'm going to eat ground meat raw. I'm going to eat the spaghetti raw. But then what's going to happen? I'm going to be sick because it wasn't cooked. It wasn't prepared. There was no process. It's the same with your life. When you exercise like that, you become overwhelmed. You end up filing bankruptcy. You end up getting nowhere. It's the same thing. It's equivalent to being sick. So if you live life like there's no process, then you're going to live a life out of order. So you have to have this point where you sit down with yourself in what I call the executive boardroom of your life and have the most important meeting. Wait a minute. Erica, you can't live life out of order like this. This is not good for the shareholders, because when you're overwhelmed and you have an attitude, when your mother calls or your cousin calls, you're snapping at them. That's unfair to them because they have no idea what's going on in the company.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make certain about those things and how they impact us, because everything is interconnected. Remember I said that it's not compartmentalized.
Exactly. Now, with the strength finders test for your friend, is that something that can be an assessment test for yourself as well? To find your weaknesses?
Absolutely. I took strength finders as well because I wanted my friends to know what it is I had to offer them. One, I'm strategic. What happens with strength finders is you get top five strengths. I'm a strategic person. I'm a learner. I'm responsible. I'm an intellectual one. It's kind of like this book tells you what it is that you are. So I tell my friends, if it's something that you want to accomplish, you need a plan. I'm your girl, because I'm going to give you a strategy to accomplish the goal that you set forth. Now, don't call me on the telephone crying, because I'm not an encourager. You may need to call our other friend who has encourager as their stronghold, because I'm going to tell you, dust yourself off, get up, and come on, I don't have time for this foolishness. What are you crying for when you're finished? Yes, that's me. So you don't want to call
right.
me when you're in that situation. But what we do is we call
good
everybody.
To know who you are. Right. But I love how you're saying to know who those people are, and because otherwise you run into the wrong person. And it's well to most of all, to be able to know yourself. Of all, we need to absolutely, definitely know who we are and what we have to offer. And so I love that, because that's something I'm going to get right away, this assessment test.
Those people are what I call in CEO to the Power of You, your board of directors. Everybody needs a board of directors. Those are people that have great interest in the success in your corporation. You may have some people who've been operating in your life in certain positions, but you need to define it to them and say, Tiki, I find that you just encourage me so much, and I would like for you to sit on the board of my life and just be that person that I can call, because I know I can always get some form of encouragement from you. And then you may go to someone else and say, you know what, you have so much vision. I want you to be the chief visionary officer on my board of directors. I need you to help me to get to my goals, because these are my goals. How do I get there? What's the vision you have for me getting there? How can I actually accomplish this? If I do this, what do you see happening if I go right? What do you see happening if I go less in a year? And that person with vision, but I'm not saying just put people in. It's going to be some people in your life that have no business sitting on the board of directors of your life. If you can change that thought process and realize, hey, you're cool to kick it with or hang out with, but you're not cool enough to be on my board, because this is serious, and I need you to have a vested interest.
Now, when the thought process changes, because I know that mine has, I was in a negative place for a very long time, but as my thought process has changed, it is certain people that I want removed. Not that I'm removing them, but I'm placing myself in the environment of where I want to be, and for the people that I feel can teach me in the areas that the things that I don't know. I know that I have to place myself in a new environment, but in a new environment, of new physical environment, but a new mental environment as well. So as your thought process begins to change, it's things that you learn to, it's almost as if you have a whole new vision and you are able to weed out with your eyes and recognize, I don't need this anymore. I need to remove myself from this. I'm not looking for this. I don't want to go down that road. And it's almost as if it really turns you in a new direction. Do you find that new thought process changes so many things? It's almost kind of like that's the first turning point in beginning that walk.
Right, absolutely. That new mindset, it's kind of like people are going to want to know, what happened to you? What's wrong with you? And they're going to try to find something wrong with it, because they're so accustomed to you being in a certain place, the place of contentment.
Mm.
Because what will happen is they're safe with the place that you're in. So when you decide to change, then now you're messing with their safe zone. You're causing them to either change,
oh, exactly.
They're going to have to change, or they're going to have to move on.
Mm.
And see, change takes work. And I find that a lot of people, like you said, we are programmed to, if we go to work, they give us the program, they give us the manual. And change really does take work. It takes discipline. And as I was reading through the summary I was sharing with Tika, where I just, the thought came that I am not disciplined enough to take my vitamins 10 days in a row. And that, to me, was insane. As small as it is, you know, I go buy them. I travel far away to get them because they're not, the place I have to go is not near my home. But to take, I will forget. And I know that it's essential, and it will help me feel better. It helps all kinds of things. But even something as small as that, that people need to start thinking about, how disciplined are we? You know, like you said, what is success to us? We've not talked about, you talked a lot about the principles, you know, asking yourself or just looking up the definition of the word principles and relating it to your life, character. What makes you you? What's your character? What are those components that make you you? Things like that. I mean, the book, I cannot wait to get the book. The summary was awesome. So those things for our listeners, you just have to get it. And it's so down to earth. It's just so simple until your 16-year-old could read it. In fact, I would probably get it for my son. But it's so simple the way you put it, and it's for all of the audience. You know, sometimes you read things and you think, I need to go get a dictionary, a Greek dictionary, and something else just to find the meaning for me, to make it apply to my life. And I didn't find that in this summary. And again, it was wonderful. So just can't say enough about it.
Thank you
I guess
so
we're
much.
Capturing people because no one has pressed one or anything. So I guess they are taking notes. I hope so.
No, everybody's in class. I love the point you make on discipline, because that is, I agree with Tammy, it's a lot of areas in my life that I fall short with discipline. And it's in those little things, even without me doing an assessment, it's things that I know I need to change in my life. And it's almost as if when you know the things you need to change, you know them, but then to get around doing them, I find myself procrastinating. So procrastinating is going with the discipline, and one thing is going against the other. So it's in having that wake-up moment, having that, okay, it's time for this to stop. I'm not doing this anymore. How would you tell someone the change, you know, when you know you need to make changes, or you know you're procrastinating, or just when you're letting your whole outside world affect the internal things that you know you need to change in yourself, what steps would you suggest for someone on making those changes?
The first thing I would suggest is to change that external world, because
okay.
It doesn't matter whether I go home and I say external, meaning I can go over to Tammy's house. That's external for me. If I don't change that, if I don't make a conscious effort and change and say I'm not going to Tammy's house, because I know that Tammy's house is not healthy for where I'm trying to go. Not that Tammy's a bad person. Tammy's operating her life in the manner in which she wants it to be, and that everything may be going great for her. But that stuff that she says and does impacts me in a way in which it makes me procrastinate. I'm just hanging out and I'm not moving forward. And I'm going to give you a very pointed example that I outline in the book. I don't have cable television. Why? Because it's a distraction for me. I cannot get done what I need to get done. I could not have finished the book timely. I could not have not only finished the book, I just could not have written on my dissertation. It was a lot of things that was going to set me back. So what I did was I said, hey, you know what? I don't need this. It's a bunch of nonsense on the television anyway, right?
Mm.
All the reality shows that they don't add anything. It doesn't add anything to your life, right?
No value. Mm-hmm. No doubt, you're right.
We find ourselves engrossed in a bunch of nothingness. So now the other part of it was every month they were going up on my cable bill, which did what? That affected the budget that I set for myself. Because, again, in becoming CEO of your life, you have to have a budget set. What's my household budget? Mm-hmm. How is this going to impact me? All of this is in the book. I outline it in a manner in which anyone can understand it. But we have to make certain that we're clear and that we understand that those influences, those things that were Twitter. It's one thing if you're tweeting every hour on the hour about something that's important. Facebook, it's great. It's an exceptional marketing tool. But am I just on there looking at people's photos and saying, oh, this one is at the nail salon. Oh, they went to eat at P.F. Chang's. What good is that? What is good is all of that to me?
Mm-hmm.
It's not advancing me. And I'm not saying technology is bad, but I'm saying that you have to be able to know your limits. It's kind of like if you are a woman who loves shoes and you know that if you go in the department store, you're going to run up your credit card. So that means you don't need to go to the mall because you have no control.
Right.
You have to eliminate those things.
Like, it's like if you're an alcoholic, you don't move into a home where there is, you know, drinking and people that, you know, you're trying to get away from that. So you have to make a change. And you talk about the freedom in the book, and I think I posted this comment of yours when you say people look at freedom as being able to do what you want to do. But with you and the cable, you know, yes, you could, I'm sure, afford cable, but you made a decision to do what was necessary so that you can do the things you ought to do is what you said, I think.
Exactly. I said freedom. Some people think freedom is the ability to choose to do what you want to do. Rather, it's the ability to choose to do what you ought to do.
Ought to do. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So
and that's discipline. Back to that discipline, what you're saying. That discipline and sitting down as the wise CEO saying, okay, what is best for the corporation? And like you said, if you had not, maybe this book would not be here. We would not be here with you tonight. Mm-hmm. But it took that discipline in order to do that. It took change. It took you to make change. And that's where people, I think, get stuck and throwing in the towel far too soon, sometimes when they're just at their breakthrough. And breakthrough comes in stages, I believe, as long as we consistently move forward in our thinking, like you said, it comes in phases, but I think so many times we give up right there. We get tired, and I think that comes from not having that board of directors, as you were talking about, that we can call on when we're at that stage of giving up, you know, when we need that appointed person just for what we're feeling to get us back on that road to where we keep going.
Oh, absolutely. You have to have accountability in your life. And I can give you an example. I have a friend who's a clinical psychologist, a professional counselor, and she's expanding her business. And for me, I say to her, you know, we talk about business, and, you know, my business is a little bit different, and I'm further along in business. I've been in business longer than she has. And I'll say to her, I say, okay, so when are you going to do your website? And so whenever she calls me, it's like, okay, so where's the information for your website? And she's like, I'm working on it. So then she said, oh, did you get the email? I sent you this on my website. So, but I am serving as an accountable person. I'm holding her accountable to herself to produce something. What are you doing? You shouldn't be watching television. It's almost a joke now with my friends. They'll call and say, did you see such and such? Oh, you don't have cable. I said, you're right. I don't have cable. And it started off, I didn't want to be distracted from what it is that I need to do. But then I realized I really don't need that. It's really adding no value to me. What's happening is I'm spending more money, giving them at least a minimum of $100 per month. I'm at work, most of us, let's just say if you work a 40-hour work week, you're at work 40 hours. So you probably only get a good 16 hours out of the cable anyway.
Right.
Especially if you have kids and you go to the gym, or you're not really watching it, but you're paying for it. So, you know, why do we continue to allow ourselves to be in these perpetual cycles? And if you know anything about anything being perpetual, it's the same thing going on and on. It's kind of like being on a gerbil wheel, but you can't get off. You're just conditioned, but you're going nowhere.
Right. Right.
You know, in the just with throwing in the towel and being right at our breakthrough and being right at our epiphany moment, I just want to share how Galatians says, you know, let us not get weary in well-doing, because for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. And so in Galatians 6 and 9, it's just, you know, the scripture just telling us if we don't give up, if we don't quit, we'll win. But it's in quitting that you can never win when you throw in the towel. You can never win when you give up. You can never win. And so that's, I tie a lot of scripture into a lot of what I'm doing, just because when I tend to forget, that becomes my motivation. Just,
absolutely.
Just knowing
absolutely.
Which way it's going to go, that becomes my motivation.
Right. It's what you call your affirmation. but you're using the Bible to reaffirm. Some people use mm-hmm. phrases, you know, whereas, you know, they stay in the mirror and say, I'm great, I'm born to lead, I'm born to win. Everybody mm-hmm. uses different ways to affirm that belief within themselves that will drive them forward.
It's an affirmation. Okay. And that is what propels you forward, affirmation, positive affirmations.
And then in your instance, you're using the Bible as that powerful affirmation base. And, mm-hmm. and that's great. That's okay.
Okay.
Because, you know, we do know that everybody doesn't use the Bible, you know, for that.
That's true.
So you know, and right, and we respect the fact that they choose to use whatever it is that they choose to use to affirm their position and that thing that will propel them forward. And then that, again, it comes along with how you were reared, who actually reared you,
right.
and what country
okay.
were you
okay.
reared in, and what ethnicity, you know, and what were the beliefs of those who reared you. So sometimes people don't understand.
All of that comes into play.
Right.
Okay, all of that comes into play. Okay.
Right. It's kind of like you've heard the story of the ham bone where the husband asked the wife, you know, why do you cut the ham bone at the
uh-huh.
end of the bone? You've heard that story?
Yes.
I'm always amazed by that and how we just copy traditions without asking questions and those things that worked back then, and simply it worked for the person that started it because they never had a
yeah.
hand that the ham would hold. And so it had just been copied. No one asked, no one, you know, took the time to determine or just to say, why do we do this? And that happens a lot as well. It's kind of like what you were saying, you know, just do as I say. And sometimes we do as we see them do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, well, we're not going to give too much of the book out. We've touched on a lot. And no one has come into queue with questions or a comment, so we're just going to take that as they've been writing and have taken so much from this call. But so, Erica, do you want to sum it up and tell the audience where they're able to purchase the book from and what date and, you know, just give out as much information. And we will post it out on Facebook as well. You know, just reminding people even on those dates that you go public with the book and so forth. So if you don't mind, just kind of share as much as you want to, and we can go ahead and sum it up.
Okay. With the book, CEO to the Power of You, I want people to know that it is represented by an exponential power. The U is right above the CEO, kind of like you would have X squared, because anything that's exponential, it determines and denotes that there's growth taking place. So CEO to the Power of You is a literary work that helps you to grow your life corporation and help you to be able to parallel that growth to that of how a corporation becomes Fortune 500, so to speak. So, again, we talk about defining success. We talk about changing your thinking. And, of course, there's a blueprint to creating that corporate life structure that will garner you success. The book will be available on October the 8th at our website, CEO to the Power of You, all spelled out, .com. Again, that's October the 8th. It'll be available at CEO to the Power of You.com. And on October the 10th, it will be available on Amazon.com. So you're able to purchase in those two places. Of course, if you purchase from our website, we'll send you an autographed copy of that book. The other thing that I would like to share, if you guys don't have a problem with it, in all that we do as CEOs, most times people automatically assume that they'll see a CEO on the golf course on a Sunday. What people don't realize is that when they close a business deal, they'll take 10% of their earnings and they'll donate it to a charity or something of that magnitude. For me, my humanitarian work, it lies with HIV and AIDS with women. I help to educate and make women aware of it. And we have a new campaign that's coming up for 2012, and it is called 1 Million Strong. And if your listeners, if you have any female listeners, I would like for them to text the words 1 million strong to 82257 so they can join the cause. We're gathering 1 million women, and we're going to stand strong against the HIV and AIDS virus because it is affecting and impacting women in grave numbers. So I appreciate you guys for allowing me to share that information, and it's been just a blast to be here to talk about the book, and I'm excited because I know that it's going to change the lives of many people. It's the blueprint that they've been waiting for, because so many times people will write, but they don't write with the reader in mind. They write how their lives are, where they are in life, and not go back to bring someone forward. So I'm really excited about that, and I am confident that if you purchase that manual, you will definitely be changed in life.
Okay. And you said they need to text for the 1 Million Strong program. They need to text that too. Would you give that number out one more time? I want to make sure I wrote
sure.
it down correct.
They need to text 82257. They need to text 1 Million Strong to 82257. They can post it on their Facebook and ask women to join the cause and the fight, because by 2012, we want to have 1 million women committed in understanding and taking a stand against HIV and AIDS. So if they would text 1 million strong, and it's 1-O-N-E, million strong, spelled out, no spaces, to 82257.
Okay, great. And we'll share that on our Facebook page, just reminding people again of the book for the 10th, October 10th on Amazon.com. Then for October 8th, they can purchase it from CEOToThePowerOfYou.com, and that's all spelled out, one word, and we'll post all of that out there as well. Tika, anything you have?
No, this has just been a very awesome show. It's kind of hard to read my questions and write and take notes and listen to her all at the same time, so I was multitasking to the 10th power.
Right.
This has been a very, very awesome experience, and I'm thankful that you were here to share your book with us and your information with us, and I can't wait to purchase it.
Thank you so much. I am just overjoyed that you guys had me on, and it's been a pleasant experience, and I just hope that your listeners were able to apply something to their lives tonight.
Well, they are so quiet tonight, so I'm hopeful again, because we have quite a few on with us, so I'm hopeful that they are really have taken notes and are looking to purchase the book again. And for our listeners, if you are, I leave you tonight with just saying we've talked about success, so we challenge you to ask yourself some of the questions that we've talked about tonight. What is success to you? Define it for yourself. What are your principles? You know, what's your character? What makes you you? Determine, think about the circle you have, the people that are in your life, what they talk about, you know, what do they think? How do they think? So start asking yourself these questions. Start preparing to read her book by evaluating your life, because the book, the summary was awesome. Again, I cannot say enough about it, Erica. And we just, Tika and I, thank you so much for tuning in with us tonight and sharing. You've just been a bundle. You've just been a light. And so we thank you for turning off the cable and writing this book.
You're so welcome. It's still not on.
Well, thank you. And we'll be in touch. Maybe we can schedule something again after the people read the book. They may have any more questions. So maybe that's something you can think about. And when you have some time, we can maybe have people read it. We'll keep talking about it on the show, and after enough people have read it, maybe we'll do another show on, you know, the things that they've taken from it and have started to change, what changes they're making in their life now, because I think that will help people if we think collectively we're coming together to make this change. So I'd like to really hear about people, you know, after reading the book, what they have taken from it.
Absolutely. I would love to come back and just talk with some of the readers afterwards, answer any questions that they may have, and just engage with them on another level. I would absolutely love to do that.
Okay, and if you have a minute, we have a caller that's come in, have a question
sure.
or comment. Is that okay with
Go
you?
Right ahead.
Okay, we have a caller from the 206 area code, last 41112. Caller, you're on air with us.
Hi, Tika. Hi, Tammy. How are you doing?
Hi.
Hello.
This is Kevin.
Hi, Erica, how are you doing? This is Kevin.
I'm doing well. How are you doing tonight, Kevin?
Great. I'm glad I caught you. I just had one question. What is your opinion on a romantic relationship where two people have an entrepreneurial personality?
I think that it's I think that's a great thing that two people in a relationship both have an entrepreneurial spirit. I think it's good because they can understand when someone has to work late, for example, or they're having to go to some social function all the time. It's easier for someone who shares that thought pattern in that space with you to be able to understand that. I think needs to happen more so is that, you know, we have to be able, because when you're an entrepreneur, you have this aggressive nature. But I think there's a balance where you have to know when to fall back. And I guess, Kevin, I can explain it this way. It's kind of like if you're playing in the World Series, and although I may play shortstop, if my outfielder gets hurt and there's a better shortstop they want to bring in, I should be able to play outfield, right? And I have to be able to know when I need to come in and play catcher. So I think that when you have two people who have that aggressive nature, to yield to one another is not to say that I am out of control or I'm just allowing you to take over. It's to say that I respect your strength. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that I've identified that there's a strength in you, because when I need that, I know where to come. So I think it's totally awesome to carry it over. I think that it creates the structure, the discipline. It reinforces it.
Okay, but now if I heard correctly, and I've been listening to the show since you started at 6. If I heard correctly, you want to bring that CEO mentality back to your home as well. How does that work? Because you can't have two. I mean, this is my opinion. I'm sorry, but you can't have two chiefs. Someone has to be an Indian. Or do you just acquiesce every so often?
I don't necessarily mean, okay, you're going to bring the CEO in your home and you're butting heads, so to speak, because it's a power struggle. I mean, the structure, the principles, and the discipline that you utilize to be successful in business are the same principles you can bring home and be successful in business. For example, if I'm at work and I'm an executive assistant and my boss asks for a cup of coffee, 9 times out of 10 I'll respond, one sugar or two, or would you like cream? But when I get home and my husband says, baby, can you give me some water? And I say, I'm tired, get it yourself. See, that doesn't work. That's the principles I'm talking about. Because the home corporation is far more, it has more of a value than this external corporation that if things are not going right, we'll send you home. Or in your business, we need to make certain that as an entrepreneur, if someone says something to you that's wayward, you don't go back into a combative banter with them. What tends to happen is you'll silence yourself because they're holding a $10,000 check that you need to pay your bills. So when you get home, why is it that when something happens, you can't silence yourself with your mate? That's what I'm talking about when I say bring home the principles, the structure, the discipline.
Right.
That is powerful.
Wow.
Because that person holds that person, whether you're the, you know, the female or the male, but say if it's the woman and they're asked for that cup of coffee, I mean, this is your husband, the person you vow to spend the rest of your life with, you know, the father of your children, then why wouldn't you go that extra mile like you do in the CEO, well, in the work world, in the professional aspect of it? That is
very
powerful.
Good. Very good, but what we tend to do is say, okay, because it is your husband. Now let me change that around because I want to be fair here. What happens when you're going to work and let's just say you're going into a restaurant and there are men walking. A man springs forth and he opens the door for you and you say, thank you, sir, I appreciate it. Why is it that that same man, when he's walking with his wife, there is no spring in his fourth step to open the door? And sometimes she's standing there waiting for him.
She's with the wrong man.
Well, you know, in a sense, this is just a basic analogy, and that's just
right.
One that I pointed out because it holds true with a number of things. And all I'm saying is that principle, that core, we can't ever get to the point where we feel like this external and how people see us externally is more important than how we see ourselves first and foremost and how our shareholders in our personal life see us. There has to be a greater value to the personal life. There has to be more energy that we're putting into making this a successful corporation.
And that's not the most important for most people. And I mean, we see it all the time. And we've even, I've seen it in my personal life at times. and I've seen it in other people's lives, and it is something that you we really should sit back and assess that, because why is work more important than the effort that I'll place forth at home and with my family and with the people that I love? You know, a lot of times, sometimes I see with my children, when I see my children talking a certain way to each other, I say, would you say that to your friend? And when they say no, I ask them, why would you say that to your sister if you won't say that to your own friend? You can't treat your friend better than you treat your family. You have to treat everyone the same. You have to be the same in both places with the respect of this job. You have to have that same amount of respect at home. So I love how I love this whole analogy of this, because I would have never been, just being able to place it in that light and see the two as one, and like you said, not compartmentalizing ourselves, but realizing that we're a whole. And so we need to take that whole person from work and place that whole person at home and not live our lives in segments.
Absolutely. But, you know, I don't think that people just don't think about it that way. I think that life is so fast-paced until you don't stop to actually observe what is happening. You don't observe your interactions. Because I know that I'm a business person, and I know I'm an entrepreneur. I have companies here in the city, in the state, and domestically and internationally. And the way that I deal with people have to be different. And because I have people's lives in my hands who work for me, I can't be wayward in a meeting with someone who's holding a $100,000 check, because my employees are depending on me to bring this back home so they can pay their bills. Again, why is it that we forget when we're home? What is it about being at home that will cause us to not just take a deep breath and hold our breath, I mean, just hold our tongue and not say anything? Why do we have to lash out at the people who love us? These are the people who are we are most vulnerable with. We lay down, we go to sleep, and these people are there, and in some instances, watching over us while we sleep. That's not happening outside of your home. So all I'm saying is that we need to change our thinking about situations and how we interact with those people that we know at the end of the day, when it's a bad day, when we lose an account, you know, when we lose our job, when we're near losing our minds, that they're there for us. They're that support. They deserve better than that. You deserve better than that in your life. And that is why you must view your life as a corporation, and you must make sure that that corporation is the most powerful one in the world, first and foremost. Mm-hmm.
Right. Erica, as you were talking, I was thinking just something as simple as saying thank you, excuse me, and things like that in the household.
Absolutely.
How courteous we are outside of the house, in the workplace, and so forth. I mean,
we learn this as children. We learn this in preschool.
Yeah, just
manners.
Break it down. It's just awesome to me.
We do learn it. And what happens is, and Tammy mentioned it earlier, I've written it in the book, what happens when you take over? Why do you think that you should not have structure and discipline? Because when I'm from down south, so when I grew up, it was yes, ma'am, no, sir. And I have a 22-year-old son, and he'll say, mom, I say, yes, sir. It's a matter of respect. And you're reared to do that. And then all of a sudden you take over life, and it's like, what? You know, I hear kids today, their parents will call them, and they'll say, what? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, if I had said what, you know, when I was a kid, I probably wouldn't be here today. So it's the elements. It's how do we foster something positive to be a legacy through generations if we don't demonstrate it at home? We demonstrate it at work. Thank you for doing the assignment. Thank you for the file. Thank you for dropping it off. Thank you for the coffee. And you get home and you don't even tell the people thank you. There has to be something. See, that's a fragmented thought process.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a different way.
That's about being in a different region, too. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go right ahead.
I said that's about being in from different regions as well. I was born in Mississippi. I have multiple cousins in New Orleans. So I understand exactly what you're saying. But then I grew up in New Jersey.
Oh,
which
God.
Which is a totally different
Absolutely. You have the East Coast is a totally different element, because I talked with people from the East Coast, and my very first time actually engaging with someone closely, they were very abrasive, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know, I'm not accustomed to being spoken to.
That's accepted. That's accepted there. That's accepted
exactly.
There.
Exactly. But it is. It's accepted there. But, again, just because it's accepted in New Jersey doesn't mean I have to accept it in my personal life. And see, that's where we lose our grounding, because we decide, oh, well, I know I'm in New Jersey, and, you know, that's how they are. No, that's how they are with someone else. But I'm going to explain to you, I would really prefer that our communication be just a little less aggressive. I understand that you're from X, Y, and Z, and I understand that I'm from here, but can we find a happy medium? I would like for you to treat me with respect, because I'll do the same towards you. It's as simple as that. How many times do we not take authority for what's happening in our life? We just say, okay, it's okay, and it's not okay.
Right.
You know, culturally, I mean, again, I've traveled to Canada, to the UK, the Caribbean. People, I've run across a number of people in various places who have a antiquated thought process. And I'm always amazed. I'm like, you guys are on the internet, you're messaging on Yahoo Messenger. Are you not utilizing this source to empower yourselves? And I don't mean that in a demeaning way. It's that you're worthy to be elevated. You're worthy to change the way you're thinking. It is time for us to stop living as individuals below what we're privileged to having. And the way that we do that is to change our thought process. CEOs are not better than others. They choose to think differently. So we deserve to choose to think differently so that we can have a more progressive life. And I have a phrase that I utilize, and my friends know it very well. I say forward progression, upward mobility. If anything that I'm doing is not producing forward progression and upward mobility, I need to stop that immediately.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate your time.
No, thank you for calling. I appreciate you as well.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
All right. Good night, ladies.
Good night.
Bye.
Okay, well, we don't have any more callers in queue, so we've taken it. We have about 13 minutes, so callers, if you do have, Ms. Erica's still on with us, so if you do have a comment or question, that was a good question from Kevin, so thankful for that because it generated some more conversation. So we don't have anybody. So, Erica, if that's all, if you want to sum it up, do you have anything else you want to get out there?
I just want to encourage individuals to know that they should view their lives as a corporation, and for them to realize that it is the most powerful corporation in the world. Them. They are so important. That in which they were born to accomplish is so important. And in order for them to do that and to accomplish the goal, they have to change how they're thinking. They have to understand that in changing the way you think, your environment is going to change. The people in your environment is going to change. But it is going to garner you the success that you are in quest of. And, you know, I like the fact that Kevin asked, you know, when you have two entrepreneurs, I'm not saying go home and go to war with each other. I'm saying go home and appreciate one another. Appreciate them on a grandiose scale, one that's greater than the appreciation that you have for the people at your office. Although that appreciation that we have of the people at the office is it's a fake appreciation. It's not anything authentic. It's what we have to do in that environment to get to where we need to be. But at home, we need to be authentic with that. Because those people at home, they deserve it. Even when a wife says to everyone, you know, at the wedding, this is the person I want to be with, I love them, you know, I'm with them for richer or for poor, and the male does the same thing. You need to treat them in a manner that says, you have my ultimate respect. Your children, you have my ultimate respect. I should not come home and yell at my kids because, you know, I was called into my supervisor's office. My kid had nothing to do with that. I need to go home and be able to tell that kid how much I appreciate them. And I need to prepare them so that whatever it is that I'm encountering, that they don't have to encounter those things. We just need to find ourselves in the place where we're applying principles to our life that will garner us growth and success.
Okay. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you again. We're still going to make an attempt to we have one caller, so I guess Kevin would be the winner for the book.
Okay.
And, well, Erica, we have one just popped in. Do you want to take it?
Oh, sure.
How are you
right
for
ahead.
Time? Are you, Okay, let's try it then. Who do we have here? Caller, we have you on air with us. I believe this is
Tim. Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
George. We're good. How are you?
Good. I think you guys are okay, but I just think that at the end of the day, it just depends on that person, individuality, you know what I'm saying, what they want in life. You know, you can't, I mean, everybody's different, you know, and some things you just can't instill in people, you know. I mean, if they're not motivated and it just depends on what they want in life, you know. If they settle for less, then that's what they have. You know, if they want more in life, then they aspire to have more, you know. And I totally agree with you. I think in the book
she's saying about, that's why it's about becoming, doing what you can do for your corporation. Those people who are, and Eric, I hope I didn't jump in, but for those people who want change and are ready for change, then that's a part of evaluating the people in your life. What do they think? What do they talk about? For those people who don't want the change and who are not acceptable or ready to become disciplined enough, it's not that you're leaving them behind, but you cannot, I'm sorry, it's just like beating a dead horse. So, it always is about a person's choice as to what they do. That's in everything, but we're talking about
I look at myself like every 3 years, right? I evaluate myself. And I say, okay, where am I in my life right now? Am I making progression? What have I done in the last 3 years to progress? And if the answer is no, nothing, then I say, okay, I need to make some changes in my life, you know, because I'm not moving right now. And I think you always should be progressing, always. And if you're not, then something is not going right. Why do you?
I'm curious about the 3 years. Why do you do that every three years, if I may ask?
It's a habit for me. I give myself that much time because I set goals for myself. Okay, this is where I want to be at this point. All right?
Okay.
And if I'm not doing the right things to get there, then I'm off strike. And I need to look at myself and say, okay, what am I not doing? Or what am I doing to not get there? You know? And then I make the changes. I make the necessary changes in my life to get back on the right path.
I understand exactly what he's saying, but that 3 years works for him. Generally, mm-hmm. Let's just say in a nonprofit organization, if they appoint people to the board, every 2 years, typically, they'll replace the board members because sometimes people become content or they become territorial, and it's no longer about the organization and its growth,
right.
But it's about their personal agenda. So
right.
I totally understand that. This book was written for individuals, and I'm going to tell you anybody, from a person who's dropped out of high school to a person with a PhD, because I discuss processes in detail. I break things down to the lowest common denominator. Everybody is not at the same starting point. Some people merely don't even know where to start. And let's just say, let's talk about a stock tip, because I really like to give visual examples. If you have a stock tip, or if I have a stock tip, and, you know, I bought Apple when Apple was 2 cents. And, of course, when Apple manifests, and you say to me, well, Erica, why you didn't tell me to buy a stock in Apple? If I had known, that would be what you would say. If I had known, I would have done that. This book is the answer to if I had known. Now I'm explaining it, and I'm telling you step by step, no holds barred, is enough success out here for everyone, but I'm bold enough to put it in writing to help you to get to that point. So if we keep in mind that everybody is not starting at the same point, but some people do want change, they just don't know where to start. So to say that, you know, well, you know, some people just don't want to move forward, I really believe, call me an optimist, that everybody wants to move forward. I just think that they don't know how, and because they don't know how and everything that they've tried doesn't work, they give up. But I think that's innate.
I can agree with that to some. Yeah, I can to some degree, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
I mean, but I don't. I mean, I think you just got to have it in you. You know, I mean, some people are content where they are in their lives. I mean, you know, what the American dream was, what? People back in the day just wanted a house, bank account, a family, so on and so forth. And that's all they aspire to have. You know, and they just...
But that's a false, that's an illusion of what success is. See, that's what we're getting to. Great to have the house and the car. I get that. That's what they have manufactured for people to believe is the American dream. And people have bought into it. They bought a lot of stock into that's the American dream. But you have so many people who have houses who are broken.
Yeah.
They have cars, they have bank accounts, but they're broken. And what I'm saying is, as opposed to working for their corporations and making them powerful, work for yourself. You become powerful. Those things don't make you. And if you notice, a lot of people who are very wealthy, they wear Wrangler jeans and drive a Hyundai, if not
right.
a smart car. Okay, they've
right.
not bought into the hype that was manufactured for others to buy into. So at this point, all I'm saying is recognize that you are a powerful corporation. You are a force to be reckoned with. Employ these principles and make it your lifestyle, and you will begin to garner success the way you really, really, really want success. And that's why the very first part is to define it for yourself.
Well, Erica, thank you, and Tim, thank you, because you've talked us down to the last few seconds. So, again, thank you, Tim, for calling in, and we want to just, again, thank you, Erica, and we hope that you've blessed us tonight, Tika and I know for sure, with this book. It's so on time for us and the butterfly evolution and the progress that we want to take going forward means that we have to get some things in order in our own lives, so to speak. And so I hope that all of the callers have taken something from this tonight. And, again, we would love to have you back on. Maybe give it a few months and allow people to read and start journaling about the things that they've changed in their life. We're going to give a book out. We'll talk about that next week on the show. We'll probably give more than one out because I'd like to get this in the hands of many people. So we'll come up with a way to get it out there to them. Again, Erica, thank you so much. With that being said, Tika, I'll let you close it out. I'm just kind of overwhelmed, and I have said all I could say. So.
Okay, I just want to, again, thank you so much, Erica. You have been, like she said, you've been a blessing to me and her, and I pray to our listeners as well. I told several people, and so I hope they're taking notes as well. I take notes in everything I do. I'm always writing, always taking notes, always prepared with my pen and paper, and I need to get maybe an iPad so I can take notes even faster, but this is what I do for now. This is what's working for me, but I truly thank you. You've been amazing, and I can't wait to get your book. And just in closing out our show with everything that you told us and taught us, it's just amazing how and the steps and the way you put this in, I wouldn't have seen this in the same way. And I also like how you really broke down the way that the self-help books are usually people breaking down or telling about what it is that took place in their life, and that you are actually aiming this towards the callers, not the callers, towards your readers in being able to elevate themselves and have this CEO within them. So these are steps on progression for the individual who will be reading the book.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, too.
You're welcome. You're so very welcome, Ms. Murray. I want to thank our callers for calling in. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in online. I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of Butterfly Evolution, where our goal is to encourage and empower those who are dying to live. Wishing you all a blessed week. We'll see you again next week. Good night.
Thank you. Good night, Erica.
Good night. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.